Hey, Courtney.
Hey, Jackie. How are you?
I'm really good. How are you?
Oh, I am amazing. I'm in the middle of an experiment, actually.
Oh, yeah? For science?
A science experiment. A science experiment for pizza.
Oh, I like this idea. Tell me more.
A lot of people talk about New York pizza. A lot of people talk about Chicago pizza. Some people even talk about Detroit pizza. Okay.
Agree.
But nobody talks about California pizza. And I love pizza so much.
I love pizza too. But do you know what I think of when I think of California pizza?
What do you think of?
Do you remember in the movie Inside Out when the little girl moves to San Francisco and they put broccoli on the pizza?
I'm so happy for you. Yes. Yes. That is.
Mm-hmm. And then she's like, I can't believe San Francisco ruined pizza.
Yeah. Oh my God. So it's funny that you mentioned that because they are very much referencing. I used to live in the Bay Area and there is a restaurant there called Cheeseboard. It's actually in Berkeley and it's very much that pizza. They have one kind of pizza every day, no modifications on it. And it's truly amazing. It's made with like a sourdough crust, very Californian. Every single pizza is vegetarian. They never have meat on them. Broccoli showed up a lot. My favorite pizza from Cheeseboard was a summer staple, and it was corn, feta, cilantro, some mozzarella, and it was like a white pizza. It wasn't like a red sauce pizza. And then they gave you a bunch of key limes with the pizza for you to squeeze on top of it. And it was
kind of amazing.
It's amazing. It's really good. Like, I genuinely want to take you up to Berkeley to try this pizza. It's very good. It's very fun. It's wonderful. But yeah, Pixar's based in Emeryville, which is Berkeley adjacent. So in a lot of their movies, you see a lot of references, especially that movie, which literally takes place in San Francisco. Right. But yeah, so California
in my purview, though, the rest of California does great things with pizza. And actually, I love broccoli. So
I was going to say, I was going to be like, wait a second. Would you not do broccoli on pizza? But
I mean, I would. It would be like, not traditional, obviously.
It wouldn't. You're right.
But I do love pizza. And LA actually, for a place that is like well known for diet culture and like shopping, it has a remarkable amount of pizza.
It has so much more pizza. But when I lived in the Bay Area, I had my pizza places. I had like 5 or 6 different pizza places that were very different types of pizza that I loved very much. And so whatever pizza mood I was in, I could get that craving satisfied pretty easily. But since moving to LA, I just haven't really had as much access to pizza. And I've almost been like afraid to try pizzas because I already like have an idea of what I want. And I'm afraid that that won't be given to me. And then my pizza experience will be ruined. So I have just, I'm biting the bullet. I reached out to friends. It's a big deal. I reached out to friends. I made a whole list of pizza places I'm going to try, and I'm going to rate them all. And I'm going to get out of my bubble. I'm going to try new pizzas. So far, I've tried 2 different pizza places, and I've been very happy with both of the results.
Look, you know, I'm really happy that you're facing your fears in this instance, and you're really taking a big plunge and really betting on yourself and doing the thing that you need to do and really believing in your journey and fulfilling a destiny of pizza eating.
Look, I don't want to say like I am the person to do this, but I'm kind of the person to do this. You know, it is a bit of my destiny, isn't it?
Yeah. And look, there's a lot of great pizza.
You gotta try it. And, you know, maybe not every pizza is going to be as good as the last pizza.
What are you looking for in your pizza? What is your dream pie?
So here's the thing. It really depends on my mood. But there's so many different types of pizza. But if you're going to do a thin crust pizza, like that bottom better be crispy. It better be it better have structural integrity. You know, like there has to be some chew in the crust, but it also has to be crispy. And
I like it when it like Ninja Turtle flops.
Okay. You know? Yeah. No. Okay. There is a specific type of pizza that I refer to as Ninja Turtle pizza. And that's like your very basic, like cheese pizza that comes in a square box, you know, and it's very easy to mess that up. It could be like tomato sauce that isn't very good, or too much tomato sauce, or too much cheese, or too thick of a crust. Don't get me wrong. I also like deep dish pizza. I like, but it, so it just depends. So there's like a thin crust pizza. There's like more of like the Neapolitano style. Is that the right word? Neapolitan pizza. Is that what it is? The really cooked really hot. So it's got the bubbly crust. There's a very specific way to do each of these pizzas. I like there's Chicago style pizza, and I'm picky about that kind of pizza.
Chicago. There's one place in LA that serves a Chicago deep dish. I tried it.
What is it?
It's not for me.
Yeah,
I don't remember. It's in Echo Park. It's nice, but it's just masa. So much
masa of Echo Park.
Yeah,
it is. It's so much. It's I get why someone who is used to New York pizza would try Chicago pizza and be like, "What the fuck?" You know.
Yeah, I know. Like it's like a casserole. It's like more of a casserole.
It's a different. It's a different beast. It's a different beast. You know.
I do love Detroit pizza.
I want to try. There's a Detroit pizza in like West Hollywood, I think, that that's on the list. I'm going
to
try
I'd like to join you. I'd like to join you. And I'd like to take you to my friend's new restaurant downtown, Della Nonna. So good. Great pizza.
Well, you're welcome to take me. Oh my gosh. There's so much pizza in my future and it's great. And you are also a bit of a pizza aficionado. You
I eat a lot of pizza.
Yeah, you make your own pizza. You make your own dough.
Well, my husband makes his own dough and his own sauce, and I do the stretching of the pizza and the topping. So I'm more of the composer, and he's more of the maker. You know, like I put it all together. That's he deals beautiful. With everything else. Okay. Yeah, well, you know, we don't do it for each other. We do it for parties. So there has to be a division of labor. We don't just sit around every night eating pizza, although We did do it once when we first got the oven to like give it a go so that we didn't like, you know, humiliate ourselves by burning a pizza.
Sure. Yeah. You gotta try it. You have to practice. It's an art.
Yeah. But now we only do it for parties. So we have a division of labor that works, but it's good pizza.
I've seen pictures. It's beautiful. I don't know if
you haven't had any?
I don't know if I've had.
Oh my God.
I don't know.
If only we talked every single week and had a podcast together, then maybe that'd be a reason.
Well, I think we've talked about us coming over and doing pizza, and then it, like something happens and it usually pivots. Like we'll end up like ordering in or making something else, or you know.
All right, look. You know what? You know how it does actually happen. I think some of my closest friends in LA have not had the pizza because every time they come over, we do something else because. Yeah. It's like just easy and like it's less of a production and we just
I don't like it's like I want to hang out with you and usually we got to gossip. Yeah. We got to talk. We got to talk shop.
Or
and
so, it's like we have some sort of pizza from somewhere else that we want to try or something. Yeah. There's always like something. So anyways, we'll have you over this summer for pizza and it can be part of your pizza discovery time.
All I'm saying is this is a massive undertaking. You know, it turns out
huge
research. Science is hard, you guys. Science is hard.
Yeah. This is essentially a degree.
I'm excited for me and my
pizza. I'm excited for you too. And also for me to come along on your journey.
Oh yeah. I'm going to need your expert input.
Thank you.
Well, you
speaking
know,
speaking of pizza makers,
I was going to say the exact same thing.
Our guest today is none other than Akshay, our producer / also my husband. And
the one and only.
Yeah, I only have one. He joined us today on the podcast, actually speaking. And it's a really fun episode. I think I actually, since recording the episode, within the 5 minutes, he gave me two pairs of shoes that I can sell on my Poshmark. So it's a very successful episode in some ways.
Oh, yeah. Getting rid of a few things. This episode was so enlightening. I think our listeners are going to love finally, you know, uncovering the mystery of who is this? Who is this producer they keep talking about?
Mm-hmm.
This is him.
A real voice to the name.
Yeah, we're pulling back the curtain. All right. Well, you get to see the wizard.
You're going to get to see the wizard in this one. So enjoy.
Enjoy. Bye. Hello, and welcome to Why Did I Keep This?, a podcast about the things that have been living in the back of our closets and why it's so hard for us to let them go. Please join us as we examine our relationships with stuff and potentially convince each other to say goodbye to excess baggage. Or maybe we'll encourage each other to just keep everything forever. Let's find out. I am one of your hosts, Courtney Vinaes, a Los Angeles-based actor and video game streamer with a passion for thrifting and a distaste for waste.
And I'm Jackie Glick, a producer living in LA who is an avid window shopper and a sentimental saver. And today, we are joined by Akshay Mehta, the producer of Why Did I Keep This? I think he might have another day job, but I'm just not sure what it is. Welcome, Akshay.
Hi, Akshay.
I'm allowed to speak today?
Yes. We're going to let you, we're going to bring you out of your cone of silence and give you a little platform even.
It's really hard because I have to keep all the Why Did I Keep This stuff so confidential that it's better for me to stay out of the social life. So I don't want to spill the secrets of upcoming of things that have people have kept. But I'm honored to be part of your podcast and so
you
happy
should be.
To be here. Yeah.
You should be. We're happy. We're happy to let you out.
It's a great joy producing Why Did I Keep This? And you know, I'm terrified. Honestly.
I know. Now you're finally like available to us for questions on air.
Yeah.
And these will be like recorded, obviously. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. And let the record show, we're all in just like a dark room together right now. There's one light. It's shining directly on his face. And Jackie and
He's
I are dressed as detectives.
Handcuffed to the table for some reason. But
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the fact that you bundled me into a van while I was walking down the street to bring me to this podcast at 9 a.m. seems a little aggressive.
All right. Let's get to it. What did you keep? What did you keep, Akshay?
It's really intense. And I honestly can't remember. I don't think I've kept anything. My sanity has left me and I still sit here.
We got to get into it.
Okay.
You've listened to a million episodes.
I have.
What did you keep?
There's like one, I have lots of crap, right? Because you just do. But I also, as... dear listener, you may not know, I traveled a lot as a young adult, as an adolescent, and never spending more than a couple of years in a single place. So I got pretty good at just keeping very essential things.
Well, and it's for you, it's also not just, you know, not staying in one place, but you've actually moved like continents.
I moved continents. I've lived in...
You're a bit of a pond hopper?
Pond hopper, yeah. I've learned to have no attachment to things whatsoever. Mm-hmm. When it comes to clothes in particular, I have attachment to, I'm bad at like, I mean, Jackie will no doubt tell you that I'm terrible at throwing away cables because I never know when there's going to be, is this new technology going to stick? Do I need 50 versions of that cable? Should I keep the cable from 6 months ago? Like even today, I had to go into the back of a PlayStation VR to find the right cable to connect this microphone into the computer. And was like, thank God I kept all these cables because this you can't even buy these cables anymore. This is such an old microphone. It still works. Like microphones still work. So like I have traveled, I've lived in India and in the UK, in different parts of the UK. I've lived in America twice now for the longest stint, 9 years in LA.
Oh,
so cool. Now I have stuff. I mean, now there's pictures and frames and...
And like nails in walls.
I mean, I will aggressively.
Like a 3M tape.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll aggressively put things up on the wall. I think on our second day of moving in, we were putting up paintings and putting up like art on the walls of it in our house.
That's the best part. That's the best part of moving.
Yeah,
I love that. Like a nice like that's what makes. I feel like that's like the final. Like that's a very important step in making a new space feel homey.
Yeah.
It's most people's final step, but for Akshay, it's like step three. So it actually, like you put the furniture in, you start unpacking boxes, and then Akshay likes to put paintings up to sort of set the tone of the room. And even before all the boxes are done, he has done the painting. So when people come over, it's as though we lived here forever. And full disclosure to the audience, if you don't remember, I live with Akshay.
We're married. There are certain versions. I've listened to the podcast enough that I can never remember if I'm like the husband in the way that Maris is to Frasier, or like, you know, like it's the one that you never see, or like Howard's mum in The Big Bang Theory. You just hear the voice in the background. Someone was like, is it known that Akshay is also the husband of one of the host?
I've been here for all the recordings and I couldn't tell you.
Me neither.
So Jackie and I live together. I think she has a different point of view on what I do keep, but I will say, you know, it's the one thing that I have kept since I was 5 years old is this tiny green plastic. It looks like a soccer ball. So it's like a little plastic ball.
It looks like a marble from where I am.
Just it looks like a marble, but it's got holes in it.
Like a tiny wiffle ball.
Yeah, it's a tiny wiffle ball. And I, this is a very deep, why did I keep this? When I was I was actually 5 years old. I remember this really vividly. When I was at my, we call it infant school, which is up to the age of, it's technically up to the age till 7, but I left it at 6 to go to a fancy pants, like pre-preparatory school to get me ready for boarding school and, you know, beat out all of the singularity of my identity. Anyway, so I remember stealing this from the class. It was in a big box of green balls, like hundreds of them. And I remember being like, this is an opportunity for me at 5 years old to like own something from the place that I'd been at school at and like get away with it. And it has stayed with me as a reminder not to steal things.
I guess you felt bad about it.
I felt really bad about it because I think I must have taken it probably the final day of being at school. So it wasn't even like I could go back to it. Like I was moving to a different school. I was moving to a different like region of the UK with regards to like, it wasn't like I could like wander back in when I was 25 and be like, hey, I didn't even know if that school's there anymore, honestly. And I remember, and it's one of those things that like it sat in like a desk drawer for years. And I remember when I was moving, I was moving to London for the first stint that I lived in London and packing up crap for my parents' home, which is in the south of the UK. And I found this thing and I was like, oh, bollocks. I still hold a bunch of like, I shouldn't have done that. That was a terrible thing. That's going to be my moral compass. So it's like my, you know, inception totem. It's what tries to keep me honest and like caring for people. But also to recognize that like, if I throw it away, then it loses all its meaning. And it's small. So it's like it's been on carry-on luggage across the world. It's been like in, you know, in the bottom of a sock drawer. It's like, it's lived there. It's currently in my desk in the cigar box where I keep all the mementos of my life, which is primarily written materials at this point. But yeah, this is the thing that I was thinking about. Like, this is what I kept. And it's weirdly kept me on the straight and narrow, I think. I haven't committed any further crimes.
Well, that's good. Usually we tell guests like to throw it away or like keep it forever. Like, I guess we just have to acknowledge that this is a meaningful memento and I guess you should probably keep it so that you don't like start criming all around.
Well, I think
this is the one thing keeping heck shy from criming really hard.
I also think if it's gone anyway, you know that I've turned to the dark side, right? You know that at that point, the lightsaber's turned from blue to red. You know that.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. If you see me throwing this out, I'm ready to go on my crime spree. And it's honestly super weird because it literally is this annoying tiny little, like it has no purpose whatsoever. I don't even know where it went. Like,
what was it for in the school?
I have no idea. Like it was just a box. They were just, and I think it was just like, you know, we were five. It was like playtime toys.
I'm gonna say it definitely looks like a choking hazard.
This was the 90s, Courtney, which you have to the thing.
UK schools versus American schools. Mm-hmm. Tell me, did you ever get caught? Like, did your parents ever see it and say,
"No"?
Like,
It's barely the size of a nickel, right? Like, it's like size wise, it's one of those things that you would just see. My parents also like, I don't think they would have seen this weird green plastic ball and being like, "Oh, this is something our son stole." international. I mean, I was probably practicing for my international diamond thief heist because it's about.
I was
going
to say, wow, you stole something and then you moved continents.
Yeah,
went to
I really went on
country.
The lam.
Oh man,
I went on the lam. But like, yeah. So this is my sense. It's interesting because like it's, you know, I never my sentimentality is driven primarily by place rather than thing. I think more than anything else. So like very like. You know, even if I think about when I lived in India, like I don't think I brought anything back from India that I've kept specifically for that reason, right? Like, because I don't think of like a clothes or, oh no, there's, so we can go through my weird sentimentality. When I was in India, I was a lawyer and I was working for this big law firm and I had this, I have to find it, it's somewhere in this room, but I had this partner called Ganesh Prasad, who was a Brahmin priest. So he was like, really, he was also a high-end corporate lawyer, but he like came from the Brahmin priestly caste, was very zen, very chill, but except for when you draft for him, if you were drafting like contracts or reports or whatever, he would sit next to you and he'd get a toothpick and he would stab you every time there was a drafting error, like just tiny little, like, this is like, it's Pavlovian, right? It's like ringing the bell, so that anytime you had a thing. And
Was it wait, like a, as in like a typing exercise? Like if you made a typo, you got like a little pic. If
yeah.
You like,
and I remember once. Okay. I remember once going through a 120-page due diligence report for a very boring company that we're working on, and it was my first ever one. And I was like, you know, I was like tiny little axe-shy with no experience, and I must have made like 20. I mean, it's 100 pages of like written word. I must have made 500 mistakes in it. And I just remember him just like, bink, 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 like every single time he'd sit next to you reading the report. And this is a 100-page report. So it's like an hour and a half of just being like stabbed this guy. So I found a jeweler. But actually what happened was it was weird because it was like, you know, like once that happens once, sort of Bruce Bogtrotter style, you don't want to eat that whole chocolate cake one more time. You're not going to seal it again. And I got really good at drafting, and except for texting, which likes to ruin my perfect grammar and perfect punctuation and perfect spelling, like it forever has been a really valuable thing. And so I got, it was really, again, in a world of me moving on before I should have moved on, I got a gold toothpick with his initials made on it that a friend of mine who's a jeweler made. But the jeweler, for whatever reason, like he couldn't get it made for months and months and months, and delivered it to me the week I was leaving India to move back to the UK. And I just never found time to go and take it to Ganesh. So it sits in one of my drawers in this like vintage purple case of this random golden toothpick with the initials GP on them that just sits here. And I'm like, I can't get rid of that. Like, again, tiny. Like sat in my luggage, no big deal. Like, you know, it's all that kind of stuff.
You need to go back to India and give it to that man.
I have to find, I don't know where he lives.
Find
I
him.
Think he, I think he moved to Delhi. He's a partner of a different law firm. Anyway, I have to, one day I feel like I can fulfill this specific thing and try and find him and be like, I gave you this thing for when you stabbed me stab my right hand of rule with toothpicks after that first.
Or maybe it's just a reminder to you to never make mistakes.
Oh, 100%. I can never make a mistake. It's really, what I really discovered is the things that I keep are the ones that remind me to never make a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah. Do not steal. No typos.
Yeah. It's
Same.
Yeah. That's.
I mean, I would argue that you've kept a lot of other things too. This were more of a, like a couples therapy session, then why did I keep this session?
You know what? I'm going to put on my couples therapy hat right now.
I think we should. It kind of does
feel like right now for me, it sort of does feel like I'm like a little couples therapist. Like, so what'd you keep?
You know,
Tell me how that makes you feel.
I mean, I'm glad he doesn't steal or make typos. So
yeah,
that's great.
I was gonna say, like now that you know that about him, like, do you think you're gonna wake up in the middle of the night in like a cold sweat, and you're gonna go to his desk and make sure that the little green ball is still there?
I love this idea.
When it is there, you're like, it's fine. It was just a bad dream.
I love this idea. This is actually now the embodiment of my conscience, like my conscience. That like, if it's no longer in my grasp or where I know it is, or it gets taken away from me, that is game over, and I have permission based on the way that I keep this podcast, which has full weight of law, full authority. Mm-hmm. Based on this
you
podcast.
Are the lawyer, so you know.
Yeah, Courtney and Courtney and Jackie, as judge, jury, and executioner, have said that if I lose it.
You can steal.
I can go crazy. I can go on my crime spree.
Yeah, that's when you officially, that's your supervillain story.
Yeah, but at least my crime spree will be spelled correctly and there'll be no grammatical errors of the crimes that I...
Unless you lose the toothpick as well. Maybe there's like a huge robbery and then you just start spelling things wrong and stealing.
Fair. I mean, it's one of those funny things where like, I found it very difficult to find things that I kept, that I feel like I've kept for like sentimental reasons. I've kept things out of laziness.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
Like there are a large amount of shoes that I've kept out of puke. So, I mean,
Shoes weird to get rid of? Shoes are just a weird thing to get rid of
because you might need them.
You might need them. Yeah. It's also, it feels weird to put a pair of shoes in a trash can. Mm-hmm. You know,
even on a a donation, I find it weird.
Yeah.
Like, my disgusting feet have been in there. You don't know.
Yeah. You don't want those.
My Hobbit-esque feet have been in there. Do you really want the ones that I've ruined and you want to take? I had a pair of Converse shoes that I kept for far too long. I kept so long that. At a night out once, the entire sole fell off of it, and I was like, "Well, these are no longer fit for purpose." But I wore them every day for 4 years, something ridiculous. Like, yeah. Genuinely every single day.
Yeah. And in high school, I almost like strictly wore Converse, and I'm also familiar with the, like, the whole sole falling off when it starts to like flap off. Yeah. And you're like, I got a few more days in these.
Well, because like the front, you know, the toe, like the toe where the rubber bit of the front toe, mm-hmm. like that ripped. And I was like, yes. Okay, well, that's just annoying because every so often my toes are going to poke out the top.
Yeah.
And I was like, mm-hmm. but it looks cool. I'm fucking, I'm so rock and roll.
Yeah. So punk rock.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, because, you know, expensive Converse shoes that have been torn apart are very punk rock. And I hadn't drawn, I hadn't put Sharpie on them or anything. They just torn. And then the whole thing fell off in a night in Santa Monica, Los Angeles. And I guess Santa Monica in California, Los Angeles. Yeah. And was like, oh, this is now time for a new pair of shoes. So I have some shoes
I've never owned Converse shoes.
They're not comfortable.
They're not. They're really not.
I was going to say kids person, you know?
Man, yeah, kids are so super comfy. Well, now they make Converse with like the squishy insole. So they're much more like comfortable to walk in. But yeah, I was a little punk rock teenager. What can I say? I didn't care about my foot health.
You can have flat feet when you're in your teens.
Yeah.
stick it to the man, Courtney.
Oh, yeah. But now I love my comfy insoles. My comfy.
I don't know if I wanted to know that about Converse. I wanted to have my experience and be like, that's it. That's the experience everyone had. Now that I feel upset that other people are not going to have the same experience that I had with my Converse, which was.
I know. The kids just don't know what we went through.
Yeah, it was like extraordinary fashion, but ruthlessly uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Walking. extraordinary fashion.
I'm not a fashion. There's a one point in my life I went to a place where I had to wear a suit every single day. And so the fun thing for me was getting the suits, but I did have 15 identical blue shirts.
That's
you
true.
Love an identical shirt.
When I love doubles. I think I've told this story on the podcast. When we started dating and we'd like see each other on the weekends, he would wear this one reddish t-shirt with like a graphic, and he would only wear that Saturday, Sunday, like the same shirt every day. And at one point I was like, I guess I'm dating this guy, like he has a job but he only has one t-shirt. And I'm not sure how that really adds up. But the truth is, he had like 12 of the same red t-shirt because he's a psychopath.
Well, they were free. So I'm friendly with the creators of Firewatch, this video game. And for whatever reason, you know, the thing about it was the only t-shirts I used to like were American Apparel. I used to make this t-shirt that wasn't too like tight everywhere.
Wasn't too tight everywhere. Also, wasn't too boxy and was wasn't very too boxy. Soft.
It was very soft. Mm-hmm. And when American Apparel went out of business, the only place that still had this t-shirt was the merchandising group for this company, Campo Santo, that made Firewatch. And so I asked my buddy, Sean, I was like, hey, dude, do you have any more of these t-shirts? Like, yeah, I have a ton. So I got like 10 of them and was like, I don't care. Like, I was just like, this is my... Because honestly, like, I'm probably a little... I've gotten better since the pandemic because the worlds have... mesh, but work and play to me are very like separate, distinct worlds. And so to me, I'm like, well, I'm only wearing the shirt 2 days a week anyway because I'm working the rest of the time. So no one cares if they see who's going to see me twice. And then I didn't take into account that when you date someone, you see them consecutive days.
And also every weekend, like not every, well, most weekends yeah. we'd see each other and you'd wear the same shirt. So then the conversation in my head was like, maybe he's just, you know, doesn't have that much of like a budget for things that he feels.
You were thinking, you know, fashion sense. You were thinking.
Really no, I at first I was like, he can only afford one t-shirt. And I was like, that's okay. I mean, he has a job, but like, it doesn't really add up. He's a good job, but he only has one t-shirt. I don't really understand. And then when I found out that you had like 12 of them, I was like, the conversation in my head was like, is he crazy? Like, you know,
what? Well, I also
stuck around to find out.
Yeah, I did.
And the answer is I still have the green football, so not yet crazy. She yeah, didn't know that this true. Was a thing keeping me directly out of craziness. Yeah.
No, I didn't think you were crazy, but then I think when we'd been dating for a few months, I like suggested you buy like a t-shirt and you were like, oh, I have t-shirts.
I was like, okay. I have tons of t-shirts. It's actually ridiculous how many t-shirts I mean, it's also one of those things where like, I'm not, you know, one of the things that my pet peeve of closets in general is a drawer is a terrible way to organize your clothes because it's always going to be top layer, right? Like you're never
well,
gonna, you know,
unless you do the Marie Kondo system.
I did that once, but like it didn't. I mean, the thing about it too, is that,
yeah.
But I did it when I had 10 of the same t-shirt, so it wasn't like it was really mixing. But even then, like, you know, if you have you know, we have in our closet small, like quite shallow, but quite deep drawers. So you have to double stack either way.
Okay, wait. So, quite shallow, but quite deep.
Yes. Yeah,
so like, which way shallow, which way deep?
Shallow back, deep down. Okay. Right? Okay. Like if you say okay. like, so like, you know, you could, they just about fit a t-shirt.
Oh, that's the worst for them. Yeah. That's, yeah. Okay. That just makes about. Sense.
Actually, they don't.
Yeah. It's all that we could really fit I mean, in the closet.
It's just the nature. I'm not like complaining. I'm just saying like, there's
I mean,
a, there's
I guess
a...
we can air our grievances, but I couldn't fit any other drawers into our closet.
I'm not grieving. No, grievances. I mean, I'm not grievances.
How does this make you feel?
I'm very upset that I can never get to my other t-shirts.
Yeah.
But so, I mean, I think I've gotten better. I think I've gotten a little bit better.
No, you definitely have. And when we first started dating, if I like bought a new dress or something, you'd be like, well, do you have a dress?
I'm not like, I don't, yeah, it doesn't, I'm not a, my problem is or also like,
don't you have a dress?
Yeah, oh. Don't you have a dress already? But I'm also like, when Jackie finds a dress that she likes, I'm like, why don't you buy two?
Yes, that is
a
the
shadow
best.
Of a doubt, it's the... going to have ketchup on it within 3 days.
That is the best, like, thank you for that. But that is the best part of this version of him is like, I'll buy like something, you know, that I like, sort of like get galvanized myself to buy, and then he's like, you should get another one, and I'm like, another one? He's like,
I
yeah,
just
you
to
like
me
it.
To me it's like I don't buy clothes in any real so like for example like oversharing I have there's a single underwear brand that I genuinely think is the best that exists. It's
okay, we're
Sun.
Trying to keep this PG. If you could, like...
No, I mean it's not a sexualized
wow,
underwear
talking
brand.
About your underwear.
Hey, they do collaborations with Liberty of London. It's very print worthy. But like, so I will buy a new set of underwear in the annual sale once a year. So I'm like, do you know what? Like, this is how my brain works, and like, you know, not that I have an underwear budget that I save up every month and sort of thing. But you know,
it's underwear season.
But so like once a year I will go and be like, cool, like these, you know, this is an article of clothing that does wear out, that does get used every single day and does require, and they have new patterns and they sometimes reissue an old pattern that I hadn't had before. It's like, it's a genuine excitement for me.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
And they're made in the UK and they're made in Oxford. These old ladies in Oxford like still make them by hand. And you know, like it's all the things that I sort of love and hate about fashion in one go is like, this is a group of people that like, unfortunately the price point is higher than most. So I can't really, I don't like to buy them outside of the sale. So, you know, it's like, it's one of those things where you're like, but it's human beings that have been featured on the BBC for being one of the last like local made and designed in the UK by these people who still, you know, been working there for 50 years. So I'm a big like doubler. I'm like, look, if something's on sale and you love it, get two of them because
yes.
For sure something's going to happen to the one because that's the nature of life, right?
Oh yeah. No, I'm the same way. I don't necessarily do it with clothes yet. For me, it's like my expensive skincare stuff where it's yes. Like there's once a year where it's 30% off and I'm like, cool. So I'm going to buy like two or three of them and use them sparingly and just so that I can keep them for the full year.
In life maths, that makes total sense, right? Because it's 30% off. Mm-hmm. Makes sense to buy three. You're getting a free one out of that. Basically, you're buying, you're getting four for three
but,
for the price
but
of four.
But you encourage me to buy like double of something, even if it's not on sale. Like you're just like, oh, you like that a lot. You should get two.
Yeah, I have.
I'm
going to
start doing that for Jackie since I know you do that. Actually, yeah. But I mean, I wish I knew that earlier this week when Jackie and I went to go. I should have just been like, buy two.
You should have bought two of those bags.
Yeah, I should have. And Courtney, you could have used it for the meantime until I needed a second.
But see, my relationship with these things also is like, this is going to stick around till it's gone. Like, till it's like threadbare and disappear. It's not going to get replaced. Right. Yeah, my problem is like headphones. I have 28 sets of headphones. Because like...
That's true.
And I just don't know what to do with them. Because like, if it's in ear, I feel weird. Like, can you donate them to someone if it's been inside my, you know, terrifying hobbit ears? Like,
I don't even like sharing in-ear headphones with Mikey. Well, I'm always like, these are mine and these are yours. Like, he'll just like be like, oh, headphones. I'm like, no, no, those are mine.
Especially
I
nowadays.
I don't say
like
that.
Spitting.
I take everything that actually has and I don't mind.
I never give you my inner headphones. They're grotesque. They're like, they're terrifying.
They're not grotesque. You like say that, like, it's like the listeners are going to think you have weird ears. Your ears are fine.
No, but like, they're just like, you know, they're full of they're in my ears. So in my head.
Yeah, but like. I don't mind.
You don't
I steal
mind.
Your headphones all the time. Maybe you just didn't know
my
that.
In-ear headphones. No, you don't.
Yeah. I do.
They're in my pocket, I believe.
Not the ones that you're currently using, but I have a pair at my desk that you gave to me that are.
Oh, yeah, but I replaced the tips of them. Like those have brand new clean tips. You know,
that's very nice of you. Thanks.
Yeah, the area of which the ear is shared, I replaced. But my problem also was like, I used to, and we'll probably get back to flying transatlantically very regularly. Like at one point I was going to Europe 8 times a year, and dreadful at sleeping in planes, like just terrible at sleeping in planes.
I'm so sorry.
It's the worst. And so I would always like buy a new set of headphones at the airport thinking to myself, I wonder if this is the magic pair that's going to be comfortable to sleep on your side on, that's going to like not itch my, you know, not get too hot, all that kind of stuff. And so far I still haven't found the perfect pair. And I honestly must have
like 100.
Not 100, but I must have
200.
Yeah. I will have bought at some point every iteration of every major headphone brand of both of its. I even have one that's a neck band. That like the battery's in the neck band, and then it fits in your ears, and it's like, and then it has like, you know,
That's earbuds. Cool.
It is cool, but it's also really annoying because I was sleeping with it once and I finally got to sleep. And when I turned around, I strangled myself. I'm not like strangling myself. It wasn't like that bad, but it was like the neck band didn't move with me. And then I was like, I don't know.
You feel trapped when you're sleeping. You don't want to feel that way.
I thought you really liked those Bose ones that are like the in-ear sleepy ones.
Well, so there are these Bose ones you can get, which are just designed for sleep. And so they are tiny and they go inside the ear so far down that actually when you sleep on them, you can't really feel them, but they're so small that they won't like play music. So you can only use the things that are in there, which are white noise things, like the sound of, you know, hilariously, the sound of an aeroplane in an aeroplane is ridiculously funny. Because, like, I've done that. I've slept with the sound of an aeroplane while in an aeroplane.
Does it? How do you feel about it? What kind of a sleeper are you regularly? Like, not on a plane. Are you a light sleeper? Do you wake up easily?
Just in general. I don't know why.
I'm so sorry. I'm going to say, like, the thing I am best at in this world is sleeping.
I'm so good
at falling asleep. Like I fall asleep on a plane before it even takes off. Like just that gentle rumbling, just that like gentle little like I'm out. And I feel bad for everybody around me because I'm the person. I always take aisle seat, and so if anybody has to like get up and pee, they have to wake up the sleeping little cherub. I'm like, I'm probably like snoring, and I definitely if I do wake up, it's always that like jolt where I'm having a dream where I'm falling. So.
Not that you're falling on an airplane.
Yeah.
But this is my problem though. The time that I can get the sleep the quickest is during the ascent. So when you're up like this and you're going up and you're laid down in like in the space that you're in, that you're sitting in the plane, I can fall asleep like that. And I'd be like, but then the minute you level out, I'm awake.
Like, you should get a bed that like replicates that. Like it just lifts up your legs and like vibrates you gently.
And I do really want a Sleep Number bed that has that kind of kind of stuff, right? You know, then I can create like a physical barrier between me and whoever else is in the bed. I'm checking.
Whoever that might be.
But yes, I don't I mean Jackie's better. I'm not like I have like a few other bits and pieces. Like I've kept my passport.
Oh, like all your old passports?
Well, one of them. But that's
I don't think you used to be able to keep all your passports. I have one passport.
I have one and they just poked holes in it.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. I have one that they cut the corner off the top of. Mm. There's like a photo.
I want that job.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a job. That's a single job.
Hole punching is so fun. It's such a satisfying, getting a good hole punch.
And that would be like such a thick hole puncher because the passport is such a thick booklet. It would be such a good job.
Oh,
it would
make such a good like little like a slight crunch noise, you know? Mm.
This is what happens on the podcast when I'm not around. This is
This is the goods. This is why people come back.
You know? Look, Jackie and I have ambitions, okay? And if you can't handle that.
you tend to keep electronics longer than they are viable or used.
I'm fully about keeping that box of cords. I go through the box, especially since like in the last, you know, 2 years where I've really, you know, we started this podcast, I started streaming, I started doing more like voiceover stuff. The things in my cord box have very much come in handy. Are there things in there that I will never use again? Like a charging cable for like a MacBook from 2007? Yes. Will I get rid of it anytime soon?
Although one of them is coming back for the new MacBook, right? The new Mac.
Is it really? I don't know. I think I'm done with Mac laptops. I don't know. I think I haven't had one.
Just out the way. What are we doing?
Well, okay. Well, here, you know, it's like I said, I started streaming, and so I have my gaming computer. So, you know, and like I'm recording this on Mikey's old, it's like a 6-year-old gaming laptop, and like we had to upgrade something, and it was super easy. And if you have a Mac, you can't like upgrade that component. I think with a Mac, you can only upgrade like memory and and that's just, and like the at the price point, like I don't know, the things I need a computer for, I think like I could just get a better deal on a PC. I don't know. I've met all these like very like these computer people, these gaming people who know a lot about computers, and everyone is like, for what you need, you should have a PC. I'm like, But then I immediately flashed to that, like the PC versus Mac commercials from the early aughts, you know, with Justin Long and oh my God,
I'm a PC and I'm a Mac.
Oh, he's so funny.
I love those commercials.
Yeah. Judge John.
He's a comedian and he's so funny. John Hodgman. Yeah. Love him. He's great. So yeah, John Hodgman, Justin Long. And I'm like, oh my God, am I really more of a... I'm like, yeah, maybe I am. So what?
My favorite thing about those commercials, though, which is really, because it's actually quite funny, because in the UK, it was Mitchell and Webb. And Mitchell and Webb are two comedians who are in a show called Peep Show, which some of the listeners may have watched, right? Yeah, So obviously David Mitchell, the sort of dowdy whatever one, was PC. And Webb, I can't remember the first name of, he was Mac. And the irony now is David Mitchell is more relevant than... Web, like comparatively, like he's written 3 books, he's and so he's in all the panel shows, does all the work. It's computers to me are just a function of utility. Like my problem with electronics is like there's not necessarily, I'm very bad at like resale. I'd much rather just donate. Process, I keep them for way too long.
I have two. Mikey and I both have our most recent Macs just sitting under the bed right now, and they're both very old at this point, but I don't think either of them are worth any money for like recycling them. I need to do something with them, but instead I've just put them under the bed where I don't have to think about them. Don't get me wrong, I really like the UI on Macs. I think that they're lovely, but when it comes to like gaming, when it comes to streaming, when it like I don't know, I am a little torn because it is, I know it's a lot easier for like editing and sound, like it comes with a lot of programs that are really helpful for that, so part of me is like, oh, maybe I should get a Mac, maybe that'd make my life easier in some ways, but at the same time I also love other Apple products, like my phone. I probably always have an iPhone. Even if I wanted to switch, they've got me hooked, you know? Yeah, I've got my iCloud set up.
Has that crazy flip phone from Samsung. It's pretty cool.
Oh my gosh. I was playing with that when I went to go upgrade my phone a couple months ago. I was like, this is wild. Is it very fun?
It's pretty cool. But my dad never really like, I mean.
I think I forced your dad into that by mistake.
But I really love my dad, but he never has even like sat at a Mac computer. He's just like, PC or nothing.
It's really a family divide.
Yeah, it is. It's a full family divide, and it causes me a lot of grief because the UI on a Mac is just so much easier, and it would be so much easier to like help with computer stuff if I knew how to use a PC anymore. It's been a long time.
I had a gaming PC for a long time, and it was more just like, you know, I do have another full-time job outside of producing Why Did I Keep This, which involves...
I don't like
to talk about it, and you don't, you know, it's one of the one piece of my life that I keep very... No, but it involves working with creative people.
Sounds terrible.
And sometimes being creative myself, but it's interesting because right now I had a gaming PC to like play video games to understand more about sort of the, you know, the indie side of video games, because, you know, I'd become really into it. And then in the end, what I realized was that everything that I want, I'm obsessive. I get a little obsessive compulsive about certain things. Like I can make I would say objectively really good pizza from scratch. I can make a really good espresso with the right equipment. And I learned that stuff really aggressively. But the one thing I refuse to add into my brain is understanding PC architecture. This is too much. This is too much of a rabbit hole. So I bought an Xbox, and like that has all the games you want. It works like a PC. It's a boring black cube that sits on the side of the my desk at the in my home office, in our home office. But yeah, I mean, I don't know.
All I want to say is that if I can figure out PC architecture, literally,
I'm sure. I'm not saying I can't. Yeah.
You just have a better use of your time. That's fair. I have a lot of people that I can reach out to really quickly who have been very helpful. Yeah. Where I'm like, I want to install this. What's the best way to do that? Or I need to, you know, put in like some kind of software. And like, I have very knowledgeable people who can get back to me very quickly with these answers.
It honestly makes me feel like I'm 7 years old again, learning how to use a computer. Whenever I sit down at a PC, I'm like instantly a child again and trying really hard.
Yeah.
Whereas like, you know, it's just been a long time. It's been a long time.
I didn't even know people had Macs until I went to college. Like we were like my school district, like all the computers I was raised on
were
PCs. And then I went to this school and a bunch of the people and like also in Northern California, Macs are very much preferred. But I went to college and I had three roommates and two had Macs and two had PCs. And I was like, what is that? And I had to get onto my friend's laptop. And I had no idea. I was like, what is this? Where is the start button? Like, how do you do this? I remember I had a job. I worked for an art professor on campus and I had to scan all of her slides. Like she took pictures of all of her paintings and then turn them into slides. And I had to scan the slides into her Mac computer and just being like, I don't know what I'm doing. But then once you get it, you get it. It makes so much sense. And I like most of my jobs, I had to use a Mac for, and I never thought I would go back to PC. And yet here I am, John Hodgmaning.
It's just like a redemption story.
I actually was just thinking that it would have been a really good idea if I had collected all the things in the house that I wanted to throw away and then brought them on the podcast and was like, do you need this?
What is one of those things you want to throw away? Like, what is an item?
I feel like we have to say, I feel like this needs to be like a visual, like we should stream this. We should make this, we should make this into like YouTube content.
You want to stream couples therapy?
Girl, kind Jesus. Of. Yeah.
I feel like that's the rules. You're going to lose your license, Courtney. I know. I mean, like, I know that there are things that are sort of, I mean, look, I mean, I will freely admit that there are some, like, there's a video game streamer that I really like who did some merch and I was like, oh, I'm going to support this person. So I have this like dumb little sloth that is cute, that has no place in this home. Like, I have no idea. Like, what am I going to do? Like, it's crazy.
You're going to send it to Kristen Bell because she loves sloths.
Oh, that's a good idea. Sure, yeah. I should definitely send it to Kristen Bell. But other than that, there's like a water bottle in here that I don't use very much. Like, I probably get rid of.
Could get rid of a lot of water bottles.
Yeah, water bottles. Did we do an episode on water bottles? Or maybe it was just like in the
freezer. We talked about it, but okay. We could do a whole episode on our water bottles.
Well, I'm just thinking about an Arrowhead disposal, like, that's just sitting in here that I don't know why it's just sitting here.
That's just water bottle. Garbage.
That just needs to go into the recycling.
Yeah, it needs to go into the recycling. Yeah. What do I have?
I don't actually know. You don't really keep that much stuff. There's some like drawers that have a lot of stuff in them, like in your office that like just have a lot of like nails and screws. And I think that is weird.
That sounds hazardous. Actually, I'm going to call OSHA if it's your office, the workplace.
It's a danger drawer. You put your hand in with your eyes closed and you see what you come out with. Yeah.
It's like the box in Dune.
There were like six in the drawer that I went into yesterday.
I mean, that's a lot. That's fair. I'm also in a bit of a house moment at this moment in time. Like, I replaced our smart thermostat yesterday. I put smart locks on all the doors. I recalked the bathroom. So I have a lot of crap in my toolbox now, which is kind of like turning into a bit of an organizational nightmare, because it's like, it's so much cheaper to buy the nonsense of Amazon, like buy the bits and pieces of Amazon and then YouTube, than it is to hire a professional at this point. And especially because a lot of it is stuff that I can do myself. So like re-siliconing like a shower tub was both you know, the most frustrating and one of the more successful things I've done on the like.
Isn't it super empowering when you can do something like that?
Yeah,
and it works. Isn't it wild when you're just like, oh my God, like the number of times I've been like, I'm going to try this, but I know I maybe shouldn't. And then it turns out okay is not that many, but not zero. So
it's also like, it feels like it's a mystical art. So like when we first moved into the house, we couldn't figure out the hot, like there was a disparity between the hot water that was coming out of the taps, the faucets, and from the showers. And at, sort of similarly at the same time, our dishwasher wasn't working. Like we had this dishwasher delivered and it just was broken.
Fiasco.
It was a hilarious fiasco. But it led me to like learning so much more about the house and then fixing the hot water across the board, like reduce it. Because like the previous owners hadn't, you know, it's a boring story, but like they had the hot water thing at like a million degrees and it was just like burning you. And it was, but then in the showers, it was like cold. Anyway, so I have a lot of tools, but they're in a box.
Yeah, but tools are in a box. It's more like things you used to have at your office that are now in the closet in bags. Yeah,
that's true. I had a very geeky office full of like ridiculous lights and silly. Oh, so I have an office now, so I probably should take some to the office.
Yeah, geek it up.
Yeah, geek it up. I'll create
this whole episode has just was just like created so Jackie could convince Akshay to get his stuff into the office.
Yeah, we did it. But I feel like I'm not as successful. I'm not the most. I don't know.
I think you sound like a very reasonable person.
I guess the truth about it is my closet is like, I do have this sort of set of shoes that are sort of, that are kind of like, I went to Amsterdam once and I sought out this pair of.
Okay, brag.
Like, fancy. Yeah, that's my humble brag. That one time I sought out this ridiculous pair of like customized Adidas high tops that are blue leather and they're beautiful.
I've never seen them.
Unbelievably uncomfortable. They're just horrifying. They're just, I mean, you think Converse are bad? These are worse. They're like.
Well, yeah, it sounds like something Jackie could put on her. Oh my God, what's it called?
Poshmark.
Yeah, Jackie has been doing great on Poshmark. I'm so, honestly? I honestly might give you my purple dress to sell.
Please do. You know what? It would be my pleasure.
I keep thinking about putting it on Depop.
She takes a reasonable 75% commission.
Look, it just needs to be gone. It just needs to, like, it's so lovely. Someone else would be so much happier with it. It felt so good to buy.
Send me pictures.
I'm here for the wedding dress. Like the moment the wedding dress moves to a new home or finds a new world, like,
oh my God.
You know, sparks new love, I think is the moment the wedding.
I don't think I told you this. I was looking into places where you could donate your wedding dress. And I was like, this is great. I'd love to do this. It's like there's a place where you can donate like old prom dresses, old wedding dresses. And then they straight up were just like, we're looking for current fashion. And my dress is from 2009. I'm sorry. It's just like it's just a wedding
dress. It actually said to your wedding dress. They were like,
no, they didn't say that. They didn't say that. I got too afraid because they were like, we are in bold letters. They were like, we are looking for current fashions. And I was just like, I can't handle the rejection. Like if they're like, no, your wedding dress is actually old. It's for old people. It's for old, boring people who are not current. And I can't take that right now.
I wouldn't be able to say what current wedding dress fashion is anyway. So I assume you're
like, I have no idea.
In fashion.
No idea. I guess it's like Reformation. I think Jackie had like a current wedding dress.
I mean, thank you. I didn't wear it and I sold it. But
you also did wear a beautiful wedding dress when you did do the wedding.
Yeah, but that wasn't a wedding dress. It was just a white dress.
Okay. Who did you marry? Oh, you mean to me. Oh, gotcha. I understand.
Look, actually, we brought you here today.
But yeah, maybe I should keep more stuff.
Or maybe you should get rid of the stuff in the closet.
Yeah, maybe. Like, oh, also,
Take to the office.
Another thing I would like to say is my understanding is the two of you have a 50-50 closet split. 50-50? Yeah.
So upsetting.
Actually, I'm really sorry, but that's
why is that upsetting?
That's too much.
You haven't I guess we do have a 50-50 closet split. I was just thinking of it, like, because we have.
And actually,
it's not going to work in this day and age. No. After everything women have been through,
yeah, I know.
And also, like, you have more space than I do on your side of the closet.
But I also have other stuff, and I have the safe in there and stuff. I have like,
yeah, but I have the shoe rack and the laundry.
Oh. Shoe rack is for your shoes.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't get to use any of that shoe rack. And you specifically asked me to put it up for your shoes.
I just want you to know that Jack is being extremely generous.
I agree with you. I'm happy to throw away all my clothes and get back to just blue shirts.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm just expressing that I could use more room for dresses.
You did tell her to buy two dresses, so.
But you have the guest room closet, the entirety of the guest room closet.
But yeah, guests.
That's so far away.
That's very far away.
I mean, I guess.
What if she slips?
What if I put a camera in the guest room closet that you can log into when you're choosing your dresses and you can just, on your phone, like the Clueless thing. You can have a thing.
Oh, yeah. We actually remember we had a guest on the podcast who had that.
Yeah. Pronti.
There's an app, right?
Yeah. Pronti.
So like
you should just have like an iPad installed in the wall, or
like at Reformation.
Yes, exactly.
I will happily do that work. I just don't really know how to create more closet space for you.
No,
other than getting rid of all my the problem I also have is I have a bunch of Indian clothes that sort of move with me for events that are as long as dresses. So it's not like there's a lot of I have a bunch of them, which like I do. That's actually true, have to actually.
Your dress space is used by Curtis.
Yeah, my dress space is used by Curtis. I can move them, I guess, too. I don't know if I'll give you any more room, though.
No, it's okay. I just...
Oh my gosh. Did we just solve world peace? It kind of sounds like it.
It starts with me keeping this green football with me forever, so...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're allowed to keep the stuff that you've kept.
So I feel like I'm a very unsuccessful. Why did I keep this guest?
I mean,
I really, really derailed the podcast because I went for emotional stuff that keeps me honest and spelling well.
Yeah.
Well, we covered that. Yeah. We did the honest, whatever good stuff.
First. I will make sure that a picture of these ridiculous blue shoes appear on the social media because I think they are one of those things where like they look great, and I'll show you them, Jackie. But they're so uncomfortable. But don't mention when you're selling them that they're so uncomfortable because I feel like that will probably ruin.
That would make it harder to sell. Are shoes your favorite accessory? Like, are they your favorite things to buy? I feel like we've had conversations about shoes a lot.
Yeah, I'm very.
Are you a sneakerhead? Would you call yourself a sneakerhead?
No, I just like shoes. Yeah. I'm not a sneakerhead. Part of it is also the fact that I'm very simple in the rest of my fashion. Like it's just t-shirt, shirts. The thing that I'm moving to now because I don't have to wear ties anymore is I want to get more flat collar shirts, like Nehru shirts as we call them, which are the shirts with like they're collarless because they're just much cleaner to wear.
Like a band collar,
We call them Nehru shirts because they're named after the Prime Minister of India. But shoes are just a thing. Cause like, it's one of those things that like, cause for a long time I needed smart shoes. So like, I used to have a lot of like Brogues.
Like iPhone, like they connect to your iPhone.
Yeah. No, the ones like
you can manage like the temperature of them.
Yeah. Smart, but also business, suit appropriate.
Okay.
And obviously now the word.
Smart in like the British.
Smart in the British sense. Word. Not in the I sense, more in the. More in the sartorial sense, but now I don't need this as much. So it's really a question of like, what I'm just going to keep the set that I have now, which are a pair of blue Oxfords, a pair of brown Brogues.
I was going to say, I was like, say Brogues, after this.
Brown Brogues. And I have a pair of black Oxfords too, that can go with, a tuxedo.
Could you remind me the difference between an Oxford and a brogue? Does it have to do with like the whole pattern?
Yeah, broguing is the whole pattern. Right? Okay. So an Oxford doesn't have the whole pattern. A brogue does at the front. And broguing can be of any pattern you like. It doesn't have to be anything specific, but it's often on the laces, on the whatever that bit is called. And then it's also on the toe. And then an Oxford is generally just flat. But, some Oxfords will also have like a toe cap as a piece of like sewing to sort of define it. But it's really just a... you would brogue on top of an Oxford shoe anyway. But I like shoes and I like watches.
Oh my God.
I love it.
Yeah.
This is good. I'm glad. I'm glad you came on the podcast. I was wondering what you were going to bring because you don't throw things away, but you just don't buy a lot of like stuff that you don't need. So
yeah, you seem very intentional with the things that you buy.
Except for headphones.
Like, except for headphones. Well, that's science, you know? It's like me with pizza. You gotta try them all. You gotta try them all.
Yeah.
No, one day someone's gonna make the headphone that helps me sleep on planes. I just don't know where or who's gonna bring it. And like Jackie will tell you, like I'm aggressively thoughtful and researched in all of the tech in the house. So we have a great, you know, media setup, etc. But it has meant that it does get replaced every 3 years, which does mean for at least a year or two there is extra sound equipment lying around the house as I try and figure out what to do with it and then finally give it to someone because I'm like, it is now aged out that I don't need to sell it and it's not going to be valuable, so I'll give it to a friend who needs a soundbar, you know, that kind of stuff. But that kind of stuff. Do you need a soundbar, Courtney?
We might actually. We just bought a TV, so... and by we, I mean Michael was like, a TV might be getting delivered tomorrow.
You guys are forsaking the projector only lifestyle.
No, I think it's just I think we're gonna put one in the bedroom, especially for the summer. It's just like,
yeah, it's hard to watch television.
It's hard to watch television during the day and and it's just, we've been having the conversation for like a year now, like since we moved into this place. It was like, maybe we should just get television. But
Courtney and Mikey are projector family. They like to project their television shows and films, so it's not like they don't watch TV.
Oh no,
they're avid fans of television.
So much TV, so much movies happening. It's just, Michael, as a huge fan of film, wants to project them. He's a bit of a film buff, and he just wants to, you know, it's very important. He likes to recreate the movie theater experience.
Well, I'll touch base with him about whether or not he needs this Dolby Atmos sound.
We also might
have a customer.
But yeah, you just send him a little text.
All right. Well, this is amazing. Thank
this
you
is great.
So
it sounds
much.
Like everyone really wins today.
Blue shoes. I'm going to have to pull out these blue shoes and see what Jackie thinks of them.
Oh, you're doing great.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think you must have. You must have seen them.
Hey, what an exciting time for us later.
Hey, Akshay. Hey. Thank you so much for being our producer.
No, thank you very much. I appreciate it. It's really fun.
Also, thank you, Genevieve Vincent, for giving us really amazing music. Our intro and outro, our theme music, if you will. And big thank you to our listeners. We're so glad that you're here. We appreciate you listening to us. And if you have time and are feeling generous, we'd love if you could subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review. Maybe 5 stars. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. Jackie, thank you for being here. I love chatting with you.
I love chatting with you.
This has been fun.
Thank you guys so much. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye. Say goodbye, actually.
Bye.